Are you tired of living in a world filled with pain and suffering? The good news is that there's a better world in your future. It will be much better than this one. Learn more in The Next World, written by Sean Boonstra. This article appeared originally in the April 2020 edition of Signs of the Times. Your narrator is Tommy Baker. It doesn't take much to persuade most people that something's wrong with the world we live in. From the Syrian crisis, terrorist attacks, and Ebola outbreaks to the rise in violence and lawlessness in the cities we live in, there's nothing perfect about this world. However, Christians don't attribute this to some sort of flaw that's inherent in humanity's material existence. Instead, we attribute it to the damage done to God's perfect creation by our rebellion. The universe is marred, and our existence is brutal because we have made it that way by an act of treason against our Creator. The Bible's account of human history begins with God's creation of a perfect man and woman, but it moves quickly to their being escorted out of the Garden of Eden, doomed to live under a curse. See Genesis 3, verses 14 through 24. That's the point when our lives became difficult, when our existence became a matter of living by the sweat of our brow until we returned to the dust of the ground. But what's remarkable is the persistent love of our Creator. He intends to restore creation to what it was in the beginning, and He insists on giving back everything that we gave away. The story of our painful life on this earth ends with that curse being lifted and the Garden of Eden being restored, as described in Revelation 21, verses 1 and 4, and chapter 22, verse 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No longer will there be any curse. There's nothing ethereal about that. God's holy city will descend to this planet, which will have been completely restored after the wicked have been put out of their misery. God is even now rebuilding a real home for us, another Eden, that will be populated by real people who are engaged in real lives, except that the things that plague us most in this life will no longer be present. The Bible promises that when this happens, the natural world will be restored to its former glory. The pestilences and droughts that threaten our food supply, and the crimes that cheat us out of our money and sometimes our lives, will all be gone. Not only that, but Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6 says, "The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." God promises in Isaiah 65, 21, and 22 that those who inhabit the next world will build houses and dwell in them, they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat, for as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. God goes on in verses 23 through 25 to promise that the redeemed will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. There's a reason why these passages from Isaiah stir deep emotions. They speak to our deepest needs. There's a memory of Eden in every human heart, which is the reason we find our present existence so problematic. We instinctively remember that there's something better. So read those verses from Isaiah again. In fact, read them several times. Get a highlighter or a pen and mark them. Notice the way that everything that plagues us in this life will be utterly taken away. The cruelty of diseases and disabilities will be a thing of the past. The ravages of aging will be reversed. Even now, we can face the onset of age with confidence, knowing that this is but the temporary effect of living in our present damaged world. When the new world comes, death and disease will never happen again. Our faltering eyes will become sharp, and our degenerating joints and discs will be fully restored. Scarcity, the cause of so many wars and acts of cruelty, will be over. Water will flow in the desert. The wilderness will blossom. There will be no need for sponsors to feed starving children, and no need to worry about how we will survive when we retire. After a lifetime of virtual slavery, laboring for someone else, we will enjoy the works of our hands. Of course, everything we do will be done to the glory of the Creator, and He will own everything. But we know He understands the satisfaction we feel in creativity and accomplishment because we were made in His image. We will enjoy the things that bring us the deepest satisfaction and bring the highest honor to His name. Even the wildlife will enjoy this new epoch of peaceful existence. Our sin took a toll on the whole planet, changing the entire order of existence for all of God's creatures. There even came a point when fear of human beings had to be instilled into the members of the animal kingdom. See Genesis 9:2. All this will be reversed when God restores His creation. We will never have to wonder whether a dog is about to attack us or whether it's safe for our children to play in the woods. Pain, suffering, and death will be over with. It's hard to imagine a world like that, isn't it? It's so unlike the world we now live in. The good news is that the next life will be as real as the present one. The Bible doesn't say anything about people floating around on clouds strumming on harps. It doesn't speak of ghostly apparitions or mysterious realms in which there will be no physical existence. We will live, work, and build, and we'll enjoy life to the fullest. It's all explained in very real terms for a very real physical future. And in the center of the story between paradise lost and paradise regained is the real death of another real human being, the God-man Jesus Christ. In assuming human form, He became as real as you and I are, and when He returns, He will come as a real flesh and blood human being. He rose from the dead with a physical body, one that could be touched, one that could eat fish and honey. As told in Luke 24:38 and 43, this same Jesus is the one who will return to close up earth's rebellious phase and usher in His own eternal kingdom. See Acts 1:11. Jesus is as physically real as you are. He understands what it means to live in this world, to suffer pain and rejection and loneliness. He was hungry and sleep-deprived. He faced the injustice of a human court stacked with self-interested pretenders who ranked their own agendas higher than honesty and fairness. He was ruthlessly mocked, run out of town, and misunderstood. And today, He's the perfect mediator, the perfect representative to stand in heaven at the head of the human race. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The Bible tells a real story for real people. While it deals in grand themes that challenge our ability to comprehend, it isn't speaking of concepts that exist only in an esoteric world. The Bible deals with real flesh and blood people who face real life and death issues. It's a good guide for people who have to face the real world now, and it's an incredible source of hope for people who, when they face death, long for the coming real world. I don't know about you, but I could use that kind of miracle.